Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the privilege we have to gather in your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is here in us individually, over us as a church. Thank you for your servant and your handmaiden, Pastor Lydia Olanio and his wife, Pastor Rose, our pastors. Thank you for your grace on them. Thank you for help for them to shepherd your work, pastor us here in NLWC Ikorodu. Thank you for every one member of the local assembly, the elderly, the married, the single, the teenagers, the adolescents, the children, the babies, even the ones in the womb, the first timers, the pastorate, the workforce, the seen and the unseen, the wounded, the confused peradventure, the hurt. We thank you, Jesus. I come under your grace that is on your servant, Pastor Lydie and Mommy Rose. I'm coming from your servant, Daddy Eguchukwu and Mommy Lillian, under whose grace I have been sent and I am serving. I come under that grace. I affirm that I'm under Daddy Eguchukwu and Mommy Lillian, under Pastor Lydie and Mommy Rose, come to serve. I ask that you would help me to find grace, that you'd help me to come under the anointing of your Spirit for this service. The burden in the heart of your servant, the burden in the heart of Jesus our Lord, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you would help me to interpret according to my level of grace to serve in the name of Jesus. Let everyone be touched by you. Grant me grace to do your bidding. In Jesus' name, amen. You may please be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, just a simple exhortation. I know Pastor has expectations. Me too, I have expectations, but I just find, I'm not coming from a very, very, I don't see that in my heart. I just want to say things simple, and I believe the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. Where is Pastor Heng? Looking out for you. Can you help me appreciate her? She wasn't on seat. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Just some, burdens that I find in my spirit. I don't know, but I don't intend to, go too far. Just some basic things that could help, us as God's people. I said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's say amen. Amen. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, the wisdom of church is God's wisdom. What did I say?
The wisdom of
church is God's wisdom. And that wisdom, though not as vivid as we find it in the New Testament, has always been in the Old Testament. You know, in the book of, is it Hebrews or Galatians, he spoke of the church in the wilderness. Meaning, in the Old Testament, the concept or Bible language, the wisdom of church had always been in the heart of God. Okay, it's in the Acts, the book of Acts, thank you, 7:38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. The word church means those who are called out. Ecclesia, called out ones. And of course, the children of Israel were called out of Egypt. So the wisdom of church had been something that had been inside of God from Old Testament times. Maybe inside of God, God may not have been the way we have now, permit me to use this word, institutionalize it. You know, this formal setting, you know, we have a banner, we have, you know, a website, we are registered with CAC if you are in Nigeria. Maybe God didn't see it as far as that. Those are not the considerations of God, really. You know, we have to do those because we are now in lands wherein those things are required, as it were. But in the heart of God, God has always had, from Old Testament times, the mind of dealing with his people in unique ways. God has always had the mind of separating his people unto himself, then, you know, bring the wisdom of how they should live to them. He called them out of Egypt, Pastor David, and he began, you know, giving them commandments, give them revelations. You know, brought them to the wilderness, opened the Red Sea, you know, gave them 7 feasts, 3 feasts, you know, then 1 middle feast on the 50th day, you know, the feast of Pentecost, as it were, then, you know, 3 last feasts on the 7th month, then he gave them a tabernacle, then he gave them laws that are going to govern their daily lives. He gave them laws, agricultural laws. He gave them economic laws. He gave them laws of priesthood. You know, he gave them laws of family, even laws of hygiene, laws of how you bury the dead, laws of service, employer, employee, you understand, you know, neighbor to neighbor, how you relate with your parents, how parents you relate with children. Even animals. So in reality, from Old Testament times, you know, God had had the strong desire to call out his people and determine how they live, not leaving any space. Call them out, then determine totally how they live. Everything. So if you have time, you can read, you know, all those Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. It's full of laws. The best way to qualify them are laws of life or laws for living. He brought heaven down to their midst in the tabernacle. Then he now brought laws that would determine everything about their lives. No space. When you give birth to a child, what you do, how you name the child, you know, what should not happen. You should not mark your child. He didn't leave any space. Because why? You understand? God himself is a life being. And he knows everything that makes for life. Let's say amen. Amen. So the concept of church predates the New Testament. By looking at the Old Testament, you have a very, very good, strong, You understand? You know, not just idea, understanding of what God wants. He wants a people that are called out of the world, just like we are called out of the world. You know, them coming out of Egypt is a type of us coming out of the world. God killing the firstborn of Pharaoh is a type of God killing our old spirit, because that's the firstborn of Satan. Satan was typified as Pharaoh. And the firstborn of Pharaoh, for them it was their physical firstborn, even down to their animal, Egyptians. The firstborn of Satan is the human spirit. That's the first thing he gave birth to on earth. And as long as he is holding God's firstborn, God will not be able to call them out. So the whole warfare that God was doing in Egypt, God wanted him to let his people go. He said, Israel is my firstborn. You know, there's children of Israel, there is Israel. Their soul is children of Israel. But he qualified them, all of it prophetic type, that Israel is my firstborn, which means a prince, or another word, a son. You understand, of God. So God had to kill Pharaoh's firstborn. All the other things God was doing, Pharaoh was not going to let the firstborn go. Pharaoh was going to hold tight to Israel. But the moment God killed the firstborn, he released his hand. The moment God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, paid the price on the cross, we were free to come out of Egypt. Egypt being a type of the world, we were brought out. Our spirit, Pastor Nee, was brought out of hell. They always go down to Egypt. If you read Bible, you understand, they go down. Every time they go to, you say they go down to Egypt. And Egypt is qualified as a house of the dead. It's a land of the grave. It's a type of a house of sin, where sin lives. So for God to free our spirit, he had to kill Satan's firstborn. That was our old man, as it were. Now, in the process of them killing a lamb, the first month, the tenth day of the month, they take a lamb, spotless. They keep it till the 14th day of the month. They kill it. And with it, you know, paint the lintels of their house for the feast of Passover. And eventually, they eat it in haste with bitter herbs and take walking stick in their hands. And that same night, after God had killed all the firstborn in Egypt, they walk out of Egypt. Not only walk out of Egypt, they walk through the Red Sea. They came out from the domain of those who were spiritually dead. So for us, who are now fulfilling the reality. Now, they were a type of it. But after doing it, my brother, their spirits were still dead. Yeah? But they were. God was using them to paint a prophetic picture of the future. The reality was fulfilled in us when we gave our lives to Jesus. Let's say amen. When we gave our lives to Jesus, the firstborn of Satan in anyone that believes in Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, the firstborn had been killed. But the reality of it only became fulfilled in us the day we gave our life to Jesus. And God brought us out of Egypt. Now, what did he bring out of Egypt? He brought our soul out of Egypt. Our spirit is new. Our old spirit died. Can I say this? We are not like every other person that is in the world. Every person who is not born again, they are all Egyptians. They are all subjects of Pharaoh. Whether they agree or not, they are all living in the land of the dead. You know, the land of Egypt is called the land They call the land of Egypt the house of bondage. Eh? They are all in the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. Though our bodies and their bodies are here, but our spirits live in two different worlds. Let's say amen. Amen. Everyone who's not born again, their spirit is hellish. When they die, their spirit just goes down to the place of the nature that they have in their spirit. If you have read Reverend Kenneth Hagin's book, I'm sure you would have heard that. He died three times. He had an experience, was dying, and every time he died, he goes down to hell. As somebody is grabbing his hand, wanting to drag him through the gates of hell, a voice will come speaking in a strange tongue, and that force will leave his hand, and he will come back. Three times, that happened. After it happened three times, he remembered. He has been attending revival meetings in church. They would tell him, give your life to Christ. That third time, he remembered all the message he has been hearing. And he confessed, I confess you as Lord. You are Jesus. You are the Savior of my life. And he died again. This time, he didn't go down. He went up. Because nature of the spirit, after having confessed Jesus as Lord, changed. Now is going up. Now everyone who is not born again, the nature that they have in their spirit is beneath. Their father is the devil. They are hellish. They have a nature that has died in their spirit. The day, God forbid, anyone dies in that state, not having given their lives to Jesus, they will go down. Now, they are not necessarily going down, because, they didn't believe in Jesus alone. They are going down because they've already all the while always had that nature and refused to believe in Jesus. Now, for those who are now born again, when we die, or when we will die, as the case may be, after we have fulfilled the will of God and fulfilled our times, we go up. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, when we get born again, sir, Acts 2:47, it says, God added to the church such as should be saved. Now, that is a conflict. If you know how to think Bible, you just like to reason Bible. No, God adds to the church. You can interpret that scripture like this. God added to the church those who should be born again. That's how some people interpret it. But if you check those in the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 3, those who were added to the church, if you read Bible, were those who were already born again. They were born again, then God added them to the church. Now, the new birth is a birthing of our spirit. What did I say? Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2. I read from verses 4. If you're there, say amen. Thank you very much. Verse 4. It said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. This is Paul talking about what has happened. What happened for us in the New Testament economy. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he had loved us, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6. Thank you. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He's talking about New Testament economy. For those of us who are in the New Testament. He said, but God, Pastor David, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead, we weren't born again. Before we were born again, God had loved us. Who is the us? Everyone in the economy of the new season after Jesus rose from the dead. God couldn't love mankind like this before Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. But when Jesus died and rose from the dead, God can love all mankind. If you read down to 11:12, he said he had broken down the middle wall of partition, meaning the law that made the Jews unique and made them people that God loves specially. Jesus fulfilled it and destroyed what made Jews unique from Gentiles. So there is no uniqueness between Jews and Gentiles in the sight of God, because Jesus fulfilled that law and took it out of the way. Colossians also say, let's say amen. Amen. So when Jesus rose from the dead, everybody became people that God loves. Now, when God was dealing with Jesus, Pastor Ore, and leading him, because he wants to save us, God was demonstrating love. Now, the word that became flesh and grew up to become Jesus Christ and paid the price for us, he didn't need to do that for himself. When he was the word, he didn't need salvation, because he is the second person of the Godhead. You can't say he needs salvation, because he's God. In John chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He didn't need anything. But in verse 14, he said the Word was made flesh. They reduced the second person of the Godhead to a child, to a baby that Mary could carry in her womb, because God wanted to save man. And that baby, you know, if you read the gospel, you know, lived his life. At some point they were running with the baby. You know, the baby child grew, became Jesus at 12, grew again until he became Jesus at 30 at Jordan, then fulfilled God's will for 3.5 years, hung on the cross. Now, when he was hanging on the cross, fulfilling obedience to God, many things were being fulfilled. Ephesians chapter 2 was being fulfilled. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he had loved us. Who is the us? Mankind. He said, even when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us. Who quickened us? God quickened us together with Christ, and had raised us up together, Pastor Nee, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Can we read verse 8 together? One, two, go. So he's saying that it is by grace you are saved. But he loved us. I want to stay here a little. He loved us. Now, it is because of his love that Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus was buried. Then he said, we were quickened. Everybody say quickened. Quickened. What's a quickened? That means we were made alive together with Christ. We were made alive. We didn't become alive by ourselves. When God was raising Christ, they were raising us. He didn't just, you know, raise us. He didn't just quicken us. They raised us. They didn't just raise us. They made us sit in heavenly places, Brother Obinna, in Christ Jesus. Then he went ahead in verse 8. He said, but by grace are ye saved. He said, it is not of works. Nobody should boast. I like that statement. So what happened in our spirits? Don't worry. I'm trying to be as simple as possible. What happened in our spirit is because of Jesus' sacrificial work. So when God raised him, in the eye of God, God has raised every human being. The same way when Adam died, in the eye of God, everybody died. 1 Corinthians 15, for as in Adam, I think 21, all died. He said, he now went ahead and said, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So if in Adam all died, if we believe it, we will have a problem if you now don't believe. That means you are an enemy of progress. You believe that because of Adam's disobedience, we all died. Then believe also. He said, for as in Adam, all died. Even so, in Christ shall all be made. Now, if you put this scripture in context, it's talking about resurrection of the body. But the same way they raised the spirit, they will raise the body. That's the same way they raise the spirit. The reason why resurrection would occur to our body is because it has occurred to Jesus' body. If they didn't achieve it in Jesus, forget it. It can never be possible in us. But the first thing that was achieved in our Lord Jesus while he was still in hell, my brother, before they came to his body in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, in hell, his spirit had been quickened. Or his spirit that was dead, that was made sin on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Him who knew no sin. God had made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The same way they made him sin on the cross, in hell, they made him alive. They quickened him. God quickened him. Now, when God was quickening him, in the eyes of God, God was actually quickening everybody. Can I shock you? You know, Muhammad showed up like 500 years later. God was thinking of Muhammad. Yes. God was thinking of Muhammad. God was thinking of all the Hitler. God, every human being, from that time God raised Jesus, God had everybody in mind. But it's not everybody that is buying into it. But I'm talking about those of us who have now bought into it. So our spirit has been quickened. Touch yourself. Say, my spirit. Everybody didn't touch themselves. Touch yourself. Say, my spirit has been quickened. Now, it wasn't quickened because of what you did, Jobba. Not because of what you did. It was quickened because of, he said, it is not of works. Nobody should boast. It is the gift of God. You will access it by faith. Just believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. And when you do so, the Holy Spirit that quickened him while he was in hell, that same Holy Spirit will pass through your body, bypass your soul, and go and quicken your spirit. And that spirit becomes what? Christ. Let's say amen. Amen. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ's spirit is the head spirit. What did I say? Meaning he's the head. Pastor was teaching this morning. He's the Lord. Pastor is a pastor in New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu. But she's the body of Brother Ayo Idowu. Brother Ayo Idowu is our Lord. In the context of marriage, is a master, as is because he is the head. She is his body. Now, in the spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ's spirit is the head. Now, no matter how anointed a minister is, no minister can be, no minister's spirit can be head spirit. That you say, this guy, God is just too much in his life. If he sneezes, heaven shakes. He's oozing divinity. He is still body. Everybody say body. His body. You find it. So we are members of his flesh, of his body, of his bones. We don't go close to the head. You see, that head is for you to be the head, you need to die on the cross. For you to be the head, you need not have sin like Jesus. Spirit, soul, body. Then you need to pay certain prices. So no one of us could do it.
And they don't need anybody again to do it. It has been done. Let's say amen. Amen. So Jesus is Christ. His spirit is Christ. And when they raised the spirit, they raised our spirit. Now, that spirit that was raised is the first thing that God gave back to in us. So your spirit is Christ. My spirit is Christ. All of us, our spirits are Christ. I didn't say Christ as in plural, one. Christ. He said, we be many are one bread. We are all the same. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 2, after 3,000, folks got born again, God now added them to the church so that they would be saved. Now, what happened to them, Pastore, in their spirit is salvation. What did I say? Salvation. That's Bible language. What happened to them? Because sometimes those things confuse. It's salvation. Meaning, our spirit being born again is actually our spirit being saved. What did I say? Everybody say what I said. When you are born again, your spirit is saved. Now, there's a whole lot of controversy on that ground. But can I tell you, if you just stay with the scriptures and choose not to be biased, sincere, then stay within the lot of grace that God has given you, it's just a matter of time you will see what is true. That God wants you to know in that season, which is not peculiar to you, because it will be what God wants your generation to know. God doesn't deal with people so uniquely that they are so special, what they know, no other person will know. Eventually, it may start from somewhere, but it will reach everybody. Let's say amen. Amen. So, what happened in our spirit, Pastor Ray, is salvation. It's salvation. Touch yourself. Say, my spirit is saved. Your spirit is saved. Your spirit is saved. That's the language scriptures used. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is deliverance from corruption. What did I say? That's put it, in a simple word. It's freedom from corruption. Now, our spirit is saved. But the salvation that occurred in our spirit, Pastor Shegun, hasn't happened to our soul. Because man is not only a spirit. Am I saying the truth? Yes, sir. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Can we read it together? Everybody, let's read it together. 1, 2, go. In verse 23, yes, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The word sanctify are variations of word in the New Testament. Agios, agion, they all mean different shades of holiness. To make something holy. To separate something. Now, he said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Wholly. Our whole self, Pastore, is spirit, soul, and body. Now, the responsibility of the very God of peace is to sanctify us wholly. So if you have been sanctified in your spirit, have you been sanctified wholly? No. Everybody didn't answer. No. Can we read it again? I'm just teaching Sunday school this morning. I'm following Pastor Lide's you know, anointing, teaching. I have somewhere specific that I want to land. But let me follow this route. I think it will help. Can we read it together again? One, two, go. Now, semicolon. Now, the sanctification or being sanctified wholly is explained in the next statement. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, sanctification has occurred in our spirits. Now, the fact that they use the word, Pastore, salvation, some people, to tie the word, which is the blessing of the grace of a sent one, the Lord has blessed the servant, Reverend Kyle, they will go care with. Sometimes, some scriptures look like they don't have any relationship. Just like one is going to Oshodi, the another one is going to Ilukpeju. But I'm not lying to you. The same author, different wisdom, the Lord births through them, those five apostles who wrote epistles, they are saying the same thing from many sides as they were moved by the Holy Ghost writing to New Testament churches. What he called salvation that has happened to their spirit in chapter 2 of Ephesians 4 to 8 is what he's calling sanctification. To sanctify. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you. Can we read together, everyone? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read together, if you don't mind. 1, 2, go. You know, if you have revelational mind, you would have dissected, pa, pa, pa. But can I tell plainly, because I'm also conscious of people who are young and people who are new, then I also want to, you know, explain something. He said, elect. You have been elected, or you have been chosen. You have been separated. According to the foreknowledge, God taught it aforetime. Of God. How did he do it? Through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, he sanctified. Now, you can read it in two ways, my brother. You can read it as, oh, you know, they sanctified. You know, sanctification occurred by the Holy Ghost. Am I saying the truth? Because it's in capital letters. Let's say amen. But you can also read it as sanctification that has occurred in your spirit. Both ways, you are saying the same thing. So, what happened in our spirits, the Bible calls salvation, is also sanctification. Because our spirit is a holy being after having been born again. So, your spirit is holy. My spirit is holy. If it is holy, meaning it had been sanctified. Now, once saved, always saved, folks. Don't like that language, sanctified. It looks belittling. Thank you. Maybe when you say things like, maybe he's a new creature. Can I tell you, Pastor, sorry. I preach once saved, always saved, do. For years. It was where I was living before I met EGFM. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years. I read Kenyon. If you talk about the... I said, preach, I preach. You know one of the people I preached with. I even served under the ministry. If you met me 18, 19, 20 years ago, you'll be amazed. I just don't like to remember that myself. Now, part of what I said was correct, but there were other things that weren't correct. Yeah. It took meeting Daddy Oyegoke, Mommy Ellen, our pastor that day, Chukwumami Lilian, EGFM, for me to see the full picture. Because if you don't see the full picture, you will be doing harm to the scriptures. And you are not necessarily doing harm to the scriptures. You are harming yourself. So, new birth is really sanctification. Now, some people will feel like, now if they say, you know, if any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. New creation or new man does not mean he's not being sanctified. That birth process, you know, is the word, it just feels like sanctify. It means like you are doing something on an old person. But can I tell you the truth? You cannot be holier than the apostles. The language that they chose to use is as birthed by the Spirit of God. So your spirit is holy. Your spirit is a new man. Your spirit is sanctified. Your spirit is saved. Are different sides of looking at the same thing. If it is not considered from those sides, we will not have wholesome understanding. You see, the word sanctification is much more common to the Jews. Then it's also common to certain, you know, Gentile region who had priestly, like Corinthians. There's a whole lot of temple in Corinth. They have gods. So those languages, so you may not know why those languages were used. You as a Nigerian and African will be arguing and spoiling things. Even the Holy Ghost is tired. Your angel is just looking at you like this and be like, that why did they give me this kind of person? You understand? What is your own inside? So the people, Paul used those language. He also, why are all the epistles not the same? Soul, everybody say soul. Why was Jesus appear in the book of Revelation to the church, to the angel of a church in Ephesus, right? To the angel of a church in Philadelphia. Because those places have different expression of the work of the devil. Their environments, where they are located geographically, you understand? There are certain things Satan has heaved up that affected their concept of life before they met Christ. If Jesus should speak pure, you know, not just heavenly, God language, none of us will hear him. If he should talk from their eternal essence, nobody will hear him. They have to use earth. Check how he spoke to the Jews. If you read Isaiah, Obadiah, all those prophets, how they talk to them is not how they talk to the church. We don't have mountains. We don't have valleys. So the language of the spirits to them is tied to their soul type, tied to their environment. The language of the spirits to most New Testament economy is tied. When Dadoyegoke, who is an apostle, Dadoyegoke ministered to some folks in UK years ago. And he started speaking, you know, Jamaican Rastafarian language. You know, I was just wondering, I said, it would lay. But the Spirit of God possessed him. He said, no, normally he said, he doesn't talk like that. You would think he learned the language. After he dropped the mic, he became normal. He still did it last year when he went to Trinidad and Tobago. Their accent. And he just, you know, yeah, man, you know, I was. Now, he's an apostolic spirit. When we were in Ajegunle, Daddy preached one message for 2 or 3 hours, speaking Ajegunle, pidgin. He sang, he rapped in pidgin, gave tongues, interpreted in pidgin, and preached in pidgin. Now that endeared the likes of Pastor Israel Jonah. And all the people were like, it's like the Holy Ghost said, now Ajegunle. Now, you think you know language more than God? Now, what God is concerned about is salvation. He is not concerned about the things that are petty, that we concern ourselves about. The older you grow, for example, as a biological parent, you leave pettiness in judging matters. You just want to save situation. You want to salvage, you understand, you know, and bring help. So God spoke the same thing in different languages according to the soul types of the people that, you know, those epistles were written to. So whether it is salvation, sanctification, born again. Now Jesus is the one who used born again. That's the master language. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. None of the apostles used that word as per our spirit. The only other one who used that word was Peter, and he used it for the soul. Now the Jews have a culture of scriptures. He said to them was given the oracles of God. When you say born, it's not strange to them. It's not strange. What shocked Nicodemus is, how would I enter into my mother's womb? But because it's there in Genesis, begat. It's not strange. But how would it happen? This born you are talking about is a strange one. So language is as the spirit births it. And the same spirit who births it gives authority to interpret it. Can I say this? It's not everything in the Bible everybody can interpret. What did I say? Thank God for church and the liberty we enjoy. It's not everybody that can interpret the 1999 Constitution. Now, you can explain it. You can read it. You don't have a stand to interpret it. For you to be an interpreter of, you must go to school. You must learn law. You must be a lawyer. You must go to law school. Eh? They must be called to the bar, then called to the bench as a lawyer to face a judge. And if a lawyer interprets, a judge say no, they will overrule you. And judges are in grades. Now, can I tell you, to interpret scriptures, you need to be called. To interpret scriptures, you need anointing, pastor. You need anointing. Zeal doesn't interpret Bible. Can I also say this? Love for God doesn't... You may love God, doesn't mean you're interpreting. You may love God so much you can die for Him. It does not make you to interpret Bible. They need to give you key. In Ephesians chapter 4, He talked about those whom He called. Can you give me Ephesians chapter 4? Let me read from verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4. He said, "For unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." Now, in verse 7, to every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now that one is everybody. The grace they give you is according to the Christ life in you. My brother, the grace they give you is according to the Christ life that is in you. So you can live a gracious life from the hold of Christ that you have trapped inside of you. But he went further to explain the process. Verse 8. You understand? He said, "Wherefore," he said, "when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive." The original rendition is, "he led a multitude of captive." Now you can use this for everybody who's born again. But if reading, the first time I saw a variation in understanding is, he gave gifts unto men. Reverend Kenneth Hagin said, you know, this scripture. And I went to check it. May I like to understand? I went to check it. The original rendition is there. If you have a Bible that gives the center note, you understand? He said, you understand? "Wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led a multitude." He didn't lead everybody. He led a multitude of captives and gave gifts unto men. Now, who are the captives? Ministers. Everybody say ministers.
Ministers.
He led them. He led a multitude of captives and gave gifts. Now, those who end up being ministers, we are first of all led. Everybody was captured to be born again. But for those who end up being ministers of the gospel, he leads them before he gives them gifts. So he said, when he ascended, because why? If he doesn't lead them, they will not preach him. He leads them, held them captive. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, a prisoner. He kept bragging about his imprisonment. And it's not peculiar to Paul. First of all, everybody who is born again is a captive. But that captivity is in a measure. Because you have people who are born again who do anything that they like. Am I saying the truth?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you check some believer's life. You be wondering, is there God in this person's life? It's like this person is doing anything and getting it. He's in captivity. But the captivity of a baby is according to the measure of his babyhood. Can I tell you, a baby that you keep in the house is in a limited captivity compared to an adult that is going everywhere. And now that he's going everywhere, he's held captive. But the baby might look like he is free. Some adults look at babies and be like, I wish I am. How many of you have heard like that? Some people have even looked at birds flying and look like, You just be like, this bird does not know the... I wish I am a bird. But the guy is free going anywhere. No, the guy is a captive. This life has captured him somewhere. Now, those who will be ministers, who eventually become ministers of Christ, the Lord holds them captive. Now, it is those people he held captive. Can you give me? This is verse 8. Wherefore he said, when they ascended up on high, led a multitude of captives and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Can we read verse 11 together? 1, 2, go. Can we read verse 11 and 12 together? No, 12 and 13 together. Read it out very loud. Now, this is the JD of ministers. Now, why didn't they say everybody should read the Bible? Pastor David, you should be able to read your Bible as a layman to your perfection. Abi? But they normally, can I tell you, bless God for what you read. The church is only the only place where you find everybody just read Bible, come out and say anything, and they will have a following. Now, all things be equal. You can't try it. You can't try it as a lawyer. Lawyers would be rejecting you from afar. He's a quack. Medical professionals, they will come and seal an hospital because there's a quack that is there. But those things exist in the spirit. Those are most times we don't see it. So even understanding Bible, Pastor Shek, let me borrow your Bible. Fine Bible. Understanding Bible, there is a level a baby can understand. Now, God doesn't leave us without understanding. There is what a baby can get. It's just like if I pick Nigerian constitution now, there's what I can glean from it. If I pick the penal code in the north, criminal code in the west, that's what I can glean from it. As a layman, But oftentimes, sometimes I talk to some of our brethren who are lawyers on some during that election time. When I call Pastor Temi Dosunmu, I tell him they said this. By the time he starts his time, I read it. This is not fair. Life is not balanced. Why? He was held captive. He was led. Then they gave him a gift. And when he makes judgment concerning law, it stands. He can be trusted in a measure. And the more he grows, when you meet a senior advocate of Nigeria, you as a layman might not know who he is. A lawyer knows what it takes to be. You would have suffered. You would have gone through things. You must have stood before certain judges and brought forth one certain case, landmark cases, before they make you a senior advocate of Nigeria. All things being equal, it's a high land. It's a high stand. Now, in the spirit, you don't just wake up and take the Bible and make conclusions. It may be right in your eyes. Now, that it is right, that's the one thing about Bible. Our pastor Demeje said 2 years ago, he said the church is the only, he used the word institution for want of another word, that both babies, you know, adolescents, adults have the same textbook. We all have what? It's the same textbook. The same class. Thank you, my brother. As it were. So sometimes there will be confusion. You need help to know your level. You need help. As I am growing, I know there are levels. I know there are things that shouldn't come out of my mouth. Even if I understand certain things, it is not in my place to say it. And I know there are things I can't understand when daddy hasn't opened it. And I have learned by many mistakes to stay away from some things, because Satan also can dangle things to mislead me. I have made mistakes of error. So I just know, when some things come, I say, you know, I'd rather go and watch a movie than read Bible at that time. You're not going to catch me. I got it. It will not catch me. Because I have made mistakes. Why want to hold on to a truth and prove a point and die? Who am I pleasing? When you grow, you discover there are some points that is not necessary to prove. It doesn't bring you any benefits. No benefits. So why would he say, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting? Why would saints depend on the fivefold? It is the wisdom of God. It is what? Now, the fact that I call myself an apostle doesn't make me an apostle. Check the Bible. Check the book of Acts. You don't just... Kenneth Hagin, I listened to a series Baba Hagin took on apostles and prophets. About 12 messages in that series. He said for you to say you are an apostle, he said you even need to have a natural age, not spiritual age. What did I say? Natural age. He said, if you check those apostles in the Bible, some of them, when they were bold to call them, can I say this? It's only two that called themselves apostles. Peter and Paul. John stayed away from it. He wrote 5 books. Book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Did you see him call himself an apostle? John, the Gospel of John, did he call himself an apostle? They had better sense. That's how you know somebody who is led. James. How did he introduce himself? James, a servant of God and of the Lord. Now, he heard that brother be Jesus. So they came out from the same womb. And he was an apostle. If you read 1 Corinthians 15, he was an apostle. Yet he hid it. May God give our generation sense. He hid it. Somebody will say it's false humility. No, it is salvation at work. Jude called himself. See the way they hide. Jude, the brother of James. Why? Can you give me? Somebody will say the guy, you are staying in another man's shadow. Ah, the best of men are under the shadow of the Almighty. What did I say? The best of men are under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, Jude and Jesus, our Lord, came out from the same womb. If your Jesus come out from the same womb with you, how would you be carrying yourself? He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, you see this Jude. Now, if you check this epistle, sir, almost 2/3 of this epistle was copied from 2 Peter. Go and read it. You know, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Almost 2/3 of this 24 or 25 verse, you know, one chapter book was copied from 1 Peter. Almost. Some word for word. Some the same wisdom. Why didn't he write something unique? You think he doesn't know it? So if you have not been given gifts, I am weary of your interpretation. Many people have followed people. Now, it's possible for you to have a good, sincere heart, quote unquote, and you'll be interpreting scriptures. But that the boy, thank you, sir, years ago, he said you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. That thing is true when it has to do with the Bible. It's not with sincerity that you interpret scriptures. What did I say? Human sincerity cannot bring forth the righteousness of God. Eh? So the fact that you understand, you are a Christian, yes, there is what you can understand. But can I tell you, what you can understand can never make you as a saint perfect. God ordained it so. And it's good. Thank God for your Bible study. Thank God for what you read. You should read. You should pray. You should study your Bible, but also have it at the back of your mind. What you read and study and pray can't perfect you. It can't. God, in his wisdom, gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the point where we can see the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure, stature, fullness. Now, fivefold, get that work. Can I say this? As a sheep, what do I mean as a sheep? As a Christian, member of any local assembly or work, you should compare notes with your brother and sister, but give credence to what your pastor says. Pastor, now sheep almost destroyed me many years ago. Now, this guy was so anointed. Pastor may remember him, but he may not just remember him by name. Those days of School of the Spirit. Before daddy teaches things, he has taught it. Relax. In Ajegunle, he's so anointed. Even daddy said it. He said, that young man is anointed. Daddy Eguchukwu said it. He said, there is something on da-da-da-da-da. That he called his name. He said, there is something. Pastor Charles knew him. He said, there is something on him. Daddy would say sometimes when he's ministering our age, he said, we just see there's grace on him. Now, he felt that grace was on him because of himself. He didn't know the grace was on him because of where he was. So, because of the kind of heart, and of course, there's a calling of God, he can't be denied on him. When we come together, anything that he would teach in the meeting, he would have taught us. So, and because we like light, Daddy will teach you 3 hours. He can keep us there for 7 hours. He kept us sometimes for 10 hours. We will not go home. Who will not like to be hearing what daddy is saying after that day has gone? We will just be there and he will be teaching us. I'm not lying. My first understanding of tabernacle was him. Because daddy will teach for a bigger audience. He will take us down. He will sit us book of Daniel. Exodus. Pastor, the way the guy was teaching, how, as he's teaching, sometimes we are not hearing what he's saying. We are wowed at his glory. If you think we knew Bible, we are just small points. And you know, he said he was an apostle. You know, there are signs you use to judge people. Not because you want to be critical, but because you want to be safe. I am weary of you if you take titles of your father. I am weary of you. He just came to us one day. He said God told him he's an apostle of the mystery of God. Yes. When he said it to me, that was my first fear. Because that's what I hear reverend say. Reverend that has been in ministry for decades. I know him. I know his mother. I know his brothers. I know him very well. He has trouble. How is he an apostle of the mystery? I wasn't jealous. I was enjoying it. But I was like, apostle of the mystery of God? It's not reverend that is saying it to you. Somebody will be like, that's foolishness. You are limiting God. You don't limit God. Let's see where you end. I can tell you, by being under, being where God kept you, you can become everything God intends you to be. And what does God really intend you to be? To be saved! It's salvation! You see what God wants you to be? My ministry, you understand? Nobody will cover my glory. I know God has to. And when he's sharing his visions with us, he will tell us his tree grew so tall that all the trees in the earth, prophetic visions. He will say all the trees in the earth, he was seeing the four corners of the earth. That every other tree was shorter than his tree. Those are the kind of, he will be telling us. After some time, I was like, hey, I've entered one chance. Where the tree that is taller than all the trees are, it will be, you'll be attracting evil birds. If it is so. He was saying things I knew we entered error, all of us together. That was the first time I left the GFM. So when sheep is, you know, it's a sheep, fellowship with sheep. When you discover one sheep is becoming over intelligent, developing, man, tell that sheep, so I will be safe. I want to make sure you don't have lies, you know, ticks. Can you go and tell pastor these things so that I can be okay? And anytime you are weary of your understanding, revelation, being pastored, being vetted, you are almost, it is almost sure you are in error. It may not be error of knowledge, it may be error of life. What did I say? 2 Peter chapter 2. There's what is called error of life. Living in error. Some people, they begin to live in error even while they have the right knowledge. Meaning, when you don't submit, you are living in error. You might be saying the right thing. It's there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read it. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, or privately, King James language, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 18, thank you. Verse 18. He said, and when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure, or they pull through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Can we read that last verse, that last part together? One, two, go. Who live in error? Most times we know error of knowledge. Now, somebody can have heresy and may not be living in error. So it can be checked. He can come to pastor. Pastor, they said, I shared this thing with Demilade, and Demilade said the thing is not balanced. Why is it not balanced? I want you to check it. Is that a right living? And pastor looks at it and be like, it's correct. But you know, this one, you know, if you just check this scripture and this scripture, you know, you should see they are backing each other. You know, you have to learn how to align scripture. But I really encourage the fact that you are seeing this thing. This thing has also blessed me. I have never considered it from this side. But if you say this like this, you know, the guy, maybe he saw his face change as a pastor. He'd be like, this thing, it can actually land here. This thing, as it may be looking so innocent here, by the time it lands here, it will do damage. Yes. And so it's correct, but remove this one. I've asked some of my brothers who will go and tell daddy, okay. Daddy will say, yes, this is correct. Say, but this one, turn this stone like this. The way this stone is facing, which stone there mean understanding? It will cause confusion. Turn this like this. See, it's balanced. Now, that is living in truth. That's lifestyle. So, anytime you have sheep is sharing light with sheep, and there is an understanding that doesn't seem balanced, be free. The pastors are there. Talk to pastor. At the end of the day, you are just wanting to be saved. As somebody who, you know, has things to do with the word, there are evil spirits of the word. When I entered error, pastor, years ago, almost 20 years ago now, that I entered that error, and I didn't know I was in error. That's the ironical part of it. I didn't know. I had been in that error to a degree before I came to EGFM. So coming to EGFM magnified it. Because I came to a house of knowledge. Not just a house of knowledge. There's one thing you have to be careful for. Every time you come to a place where truth is heaved and raised. Eh? You have to be careful to stay under. Because around every environment where truth is taught, evil spirits also hover. Now, the evil spirits are not spirits of the truth. The evil spirits are always looking for ways to make people, you understand, prey on men, to make people make shipwreck of the truth. I'm not lying to you. The spirits who are around places where milk are being taught, evil spirits, are not as much as the spirits who go around places where truth are being taught. Believe it. Do you know the spirit that was around Jesus all his life? It was not principality. When the moment they say, this is my beloved son, in whom they didn't send wicked spirits in high place. It's Satan himself. He made sure he was there, personally tempting Jesus. And Satan left him for a moment. And said, he has to go and re-strategize to come back. Why was Satan... All over the world, Satan was just with one man for 3.5 years. Why? God was with him. Acts 10 said God was with him. Because God is there, Satan also kept hovering around. And what was he doing? He wanted him to fall. Check, he kept tempting him. Why is he tempting him? Fall. Fall. Fall means enter error. Err from the way. So I have had that error. I now came to a place where there is so much light. Angels are visiting. Of course, I like that today. First time I saw tongues and interpretation. I've only seen it in the Bible. I've never experienced it. Then I hear angels are in the meeting. The first day I was afraid. Now all of this, there was error of knowledge. There was also error of life. But God brought me to help me. But I was also joined with people. My friends, Ajegunle folks. Who we all had problems. So when we come, we hear that my guy would, you know, explain things. Initially, he would say things, daddy will come and teach. So we just feel like, there's confirmation. After months, particularly when he began to feel, there was a time he just felt, he said, everyone likes to bring everybody under. Me, I was born in a Yoruba house with plenty of cane. I don't think those kind of thoughts. There are some thoughts that, you know, I have problems, but there are some problems I don't have. He said, have you noticed? He said, Reverend likes to bring everybody under. He said, have you noticed? Then he now used one word. I'm not lying. He said, he behaves. He said, have you watched that movie? I've not watched that movie. I said that time. He said, have you watched The Godfather? I said, I've not watched it. He said, he behaves like The Godfather. He said, he likes to bring everybody under. He likes to subject everybody. I was like, I don't understand. What do you mean? You understand? He was opening our eyes. He was opening our eyes. He was just showing us. He was showing us things that was strange. Of course, with all those things, my heart will be afraid. Then he will bring light again, bring revelation. I'll be like, God cannot, this guy cannot be lying now. This guy cannot be lying. But can I tell you, after some time, we've drifted. He now came to a point, what he was saying was different. He wasn't saying anything close to what everyone was saying. And he will not be telling us, you understand? Can I tell you, he will not be giving us prophecy, tongues, that will tell us how special we were. It's God that delivered us. Pastor, he made us take a covenant. I've never said it anywhere. Yes. That we will not betray each other. Yes. And this is the first time it's coming out from my mouth. For almost 20 years. He said that we will never betray each other. He said because we have been given special lights. He now told us he is an apostle. He said, he was now saying, I sense the grace on you is a prophet. The grace on you is a prophet. The grace of, he said, me, see, you can sense the grace on me is I'm a pastor and a teacher. We were all like that, not knowing daddy had seen everything. Not necessarily seeing the things we have done, but you know, it's very easy. An adult, I say, what a child climbs a tree to see. An adult just needs to lie down, not even sit down. He would have seen everything. So everyone will see us, you'll be hailing us. Be careful around spiritual authority. See, we punching you. See. Whereas he was seeing things. He will call that guy. He will look at him. He will say, my son. He wasn't deceiving him. He was loving him. Wanting to win him. But he was now withdrawing. Anytime you find anyone withdrawing, one sign of sickness in a sheep, when you want to know a sheep who is sick, it starts withdrawing. What did I say? Everybody didn't answer me. As a pastor, I have noticed it. When somebody begins to withdraw, I go after the person. I use all the wisdom I have learned that I know. To make sure the person, because why sometimes when that thing, because it has happened to me too, I withdrew. I didn't just withdrew, I went away. I left. So you find, after some times, he will tell you what, when we want to go for school of the spirit, he will say, what do they want to teach? I'm not lying. You must have son, you may not know this detail, Pastor Charles, but you saw things that happened in those seasons. He will say, what does he want to teach? Even the unknown was not there again. What does Kyle want to teach? You understand? So, of course, that time my heart was beating. I knew we have entered one chance. But how to remove my leg was difficult. One time he just woke up and said, we should leave this place. We should leave these people. Eh? So, me too now, of course. We drop word. You understand? They are not loving. They are just preaching truth. Because when every message of Reverend now look like he's talking to us. Yeah. Every what? Every message. When they are preaching, say, we'll be looking at ourselves. Our lumbar wing. It is we they are talking to. Every message. So he just came up, he said, we can't stay here. He said, the atmosphere is toxic. Say it's too toxic. Then he said, Reverend is jealous of him. Yes. So he left. So I remember I dropped ash words with Reverend Vicky. You understand? Say, I can't stay here. There is no love here. We just preach love. We don't do it. You know, blah, 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 blah. We left. All of us. We left. And when you know, you think when you leave, everything will collapse. That's the mind. It's the evil spirit. You think the moment you have left, things will fail. Unless God is not the one who is there. When you leave, everything will come. The house may suffer. Particularly if you have a supply. The house may suffer. The house may be injured. Some people whose hearts are not strong may be discouraged. And some may even leave. God will hold you responsible. Yeah? But can I tell you, the work will continue. So we were from afar. Those days there was no streaming. I remember Thursday morning. I wake up Thursday. Because for Thursday, School of the Spirit has become part of my life. Thursday morning I wake up and there's nothing. I will just be at home. Just be at home. So I'll be like, is everything okay? Then before you know, we'll see ourselves in the evening. He will say there's a new light God gave him. He will say, everybody bring your Bible. Bring our Bible. We start sharing. But at some point, because your spirit is alive, you just know this thing is not it again. This thing is not it. After some weeks, I went to him. I said, I want to go back. He said, what? He said, don't forget we owe our covenant. He said, don't forget. I said, I want to go back. I said, I want to go back. I said, I said, things were happening to me. It's messy. That's the best way I can describe it. Evil spirits were appearing to me. I'm not lying. When I wanted to get married, I told my wife, I said, I've experienced some things. And I feel, you know, it will be, you know, wicked for me not to give her a glimpse of where I'm coming from in case she wants to say no. Let you know she has entered before she found out. She now said, okay, that I should go and tell her daddy, because she was staying in Pastor Emeka's house, that, you know, whatever pastor says, I should let her know. I went to pastor. I said, I have experienced some things. Of course, pastors knew with us, how we left. And I said, pastor said, what was it? I explained some things. Pastor said, okay, go ahead. I'm listening. I won't forget. Pastor was pumping the tire of his station wagon, you know, in Shobande, that place we drove past yesterday, vulcanizer. I was talking. Another sometime, pastor said, it's okay. He said, don't continue. He said, well, I don't think there might be necessary for you to tell her all of this. He said, it may not be necessary. You understand? Because there were horrible things. Horrible, horrible things. Evil spirits almost killed me. Yeah. Then in those seasons, the Lord, you know, I used to think I've been having visitation. I didn't know it was evil spirit appearing to me. If you didn't tell me, if the Lord didn't come, sir, I used to think, because I was having experiences. I was seeing angels. Now I said, one might have grace. There might be God's grace around you for certain operations. Evil spirit can pollute the water. I mean experiences, angels, tongues, interpretation, but they were all corrupt. It was in the midst of that brokenness, because I almost died. And that's, I'm saying it in the mildest way. I almost died then, in that season, for the first. That was the day I now knew there's visitation and there is truly, Jesus is different from all the others. One day the Lord just walked into my room. I thought it's Jesus that had been coming. You know when they say another Jesus, there is truly, truly another Jesus. Is there in Galatians? There is another spirit that behaves like Jesus. He appears to people who are disobedient. He appears to people who don't submit to authority. He comes to behave like Jesus to them to make sure they continue their path. He wants to destroy them and destroy those who hear them. He said it in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, even as Satan had transformed himself into an angel of light. I didn't know it was not Jesus that has been coming to my life. If you tell me, I will tell you, we used to come, I will say, I had a visitation. We share our visitation, even compete with it. Yeah? But the day Jesus came for the first time, I knew the difference. And he didn't come laughing. He came to warn me. It was warning. The few times he came, I have not had that kind of experience for years again. He did those to bring me out of a mess. He came to warn me. One day, he pointed his finger at my face. What happened that day? After the Lord began to come, you know, he came one time. He said something. He said, an angel will be about me to help me begin to come out of my error. He said, because you are in error. He told me, say, you are in error. Then, later, because that error time was a whole lot of prophetic experience. That's why I don't believe experiences that you can vouch for through the scriptures. Show me Bible. Give me chapters and verses. If they never break your head, now you go there. I want scriptures. If you can't show it in scriptures, I don't need it. I don't need the experience. I have had enough. So that day, I was studying, I was reading the book of Ezekiel. For you to know the kind of error. Now this, the Lord has begun to restore me small, small. I went through things, small, small. And I was just reading Ezekiel 28. Then, all of a sudden, a presence. Now, prior to that season, I did it, I would just swallow everything. Experience, vision, dream, anointing. I didn't know how to test spirits. I read it, but I was reading everything, Revelation. I didn't know the spirit. And you can't learn those things if you are not an apprentice of the spirit. Then if you are not an apprentice of a minister. If you are not an apprentice, when I say apprentice, stay in a church. I am weary of people who don't have church. I am weary of people who don't have a local assembly that they submit to. You are just online. God added to the church such as should be saved. So that day I was reading Ezekiel. All of a sudden, I could tell the ambience in the room became anointed. There was a presence. I could tell. I knew something entered the room. But I kept reading. All of a sudden, that scripture, the place I was reading, just began to come alive. Now, don't forget, I'm coming out of error. The Lord has begun to correct me. So I am now careful. So every scripture, I check it very well. I was just checking. From Ezekiel, he began to show me things. Show me things. And I was seeing new understanding that I had never considered. Then the thing landed in John chapter 1. The Gospel of John. And the summary of the light that came out is that they are not really, really Trinity. That they are four. I'm not lying. That they are not what? That they are four. That were from the beginning. Now, prior to that season, Pastor, I swallowed everything because this, I almost called his name. He's always teaching us. So that path for that kind of understanding had been opened. The Lord told me, he said, those evil spirits that were troubling me, he said they won't stop until that path is closed. He said, and they would only close when I have been retrained, not only in my understanding, but also in my lifestyle. So, four, and can I tell you, he was showing me scriptures, how that they were not three, that they were four. Now, you know where the thing is going. Who is the fourth one? Who is the fourth one? No, it wasn't me. It was pointing to something else, that they were four. So I was checking. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God, because all this while I wasn't careful, I would just swallow it, add it to my pouch, and I'll become worse. Worse in lifestyle. We went into all kinds of habits, including immoral habits. Yes. All kinds of things were excusing. So I just discovered four. I was checking. And so I was checking three. There be three that be a record. Where is the fourth one? Give me a scripture. All of a sudden, it's like the atmosphere became angry. Like if the person in the atmosphere was angry. That I could feel it. Anger. It just occurred to me it's an evil spirit. Then I began to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you because I have gone through things. I started rebuking, resisting. All of the feeling I had in my spirit is like a being that has long robe left the room. I just felt wind left the room. The moment that being left the room, Jesus showed up and put his hand on my face. He said, learn. And he disappeared. So those were the places I came out from. And that thing continued. The Lord kept angels to come help me. The Lord helped me. Coming out from it, I don't want to go there again. I don't want to do what? No, I don't care what anybody says. So when you see me under our daddy, Reverend Kyle, I hide myself. If they never break your jaw, you go, they talk anyhow. Many people have been held captive by evil spirits. They don't know. Being onlinely popular doesn't make you right. Most of the fathers are weary of our generation. Behind, recently Bishop Oyedepo was talking earlier this year, maybe like 4 or 5 months ago. He said, everywhere you have apostles. Everywhere you have apostles. He said, even little children that passed through my hand in Covenant University. He said, they are now apostles. He has been in ministry in his teenage years. He has been doing ministry. He is 70 now. 49 years in ministry. Active ministry. He didn't call himself an apostle. May God have mercy on our generation. What am I saying? He said, God added to the church. I just perceived a wisdom. When I was coming this morning, I felt a warfare of evil spirits. It's like something was just fighting everything in my house. I could tell car that is working just started developing faults. It won't start. Start it. Tire had issues. They were going. FRSA arrested them. You know, I was just like, over what? Just be behaving like bullies. You know why? Because they don't like it for their legs to be revealed. They normally hide behind the curtain. My grandma normally tells one story to my great-grandma. She used to tell a story that my mom likes to tell. Somebody was owing her money, and she went to the person's house to collect her money. The person hid behind the door, but the door is the type that he didn't get down. So even if you're hiding, your leg will show. So she now entered the house, said, "Lagbajada, Baba Inko," they said, "He has gone out." So she saw the leg. She said, "No problem." She said, "Tombati de. When he comes back, please help me tell him that next time when he's going out, he should go with his leg. That he should not leave his leg behind. When he comes, let him come and give me my money." Evil spirits. When we stay with scriptures, we will see their legs. Sometimes it takes, you understand, just meekness. What did I say? Meekness. To know evil spirit at work. Evil spirits are not humble. They are proud beings. Can I say this? They are church boys that fell from a higher church. Evil spirits know more about church than we do. Which church is greater than Zion? God just wants to raise that kind of church on earth. Angels in the outer court, angels in the holy place, angels in the most holy, they know more about church than us. Now, when we are born again, God adds us to be saved. When we come to church, we know we've come to a place wherein we are meant to come and learn life all over again. What did I say? Most times, Satan, while we are in the world, while we are not born again, or even while we are born again, while we are not committed to God, teaches us what church should be. You know how pastor should dress. You know how mommy should dress. You know how this should be. You know how that should be. You know how, and when you come to church, you want to insist on those things. But it is blessing when the Lord brings us to church and begins to re-instruct us. So the reason for doctrine, the reason for the giving of knowledge is to teach life again, is to preach life, is to communicate life in every ramification the way God intends it. God leaves no stone unturned. It's just a matter of time, Pastor David. If we stick with God long enough, He will show us all standards of His in every areas of life. if we, and I use the word, if we stick with God long enough. Maybe for a local assembly, at some point there might be, you know, sudden emphasis that may not have come. Maybe, let me use New and Living Way, Vokes, Abule Ado, for example. It's been 15 years. This year is the 15th year. If I'm correct, 2009 to now is 15 years. April 2009 that the church started. Now, many grounds have been covered. Many definitions, redefinitions. So any person who comes to New and Living Way Church, Ado, you find a whole lot of things that have been defined. Clarity has been put, okay, as to what should family life be like. Those are the burdens I had while I was coming. I had practical burdens, not necessarily revelational burdens, practical burdens. Because God has standards for homes. Can I say this? If our homes are dysfunctional, it will have a toll on the church. If our homes are dysfunctional, and we are all not there, my own home is not as functional as it should be. I should boldly confess that. But can I tell you, evil spirits fight homes. Now, in a church, evil spirits can lodge attack on homes. Evil spirits. What they are after, really, is the church. What they are after is the ministry of the word. What they are after is the atmosphere. They don't want the atmosphere to be good enough. Can I tell you, as a pastor, when there are issues in home A, home B, home C, out of maybe 10 homes, 5 homes, 6 homes have issues, the word will not come out well. Word will be addressing issues. We will not be able to make journey. We will not be able to. And Satan likes that. We'll address this issue today, address this issue tomorrow. But can I say this? Issues will not end. Satan will keep bringing matters. But the Lord expects, which is part of what I feel stirred in my heart, the Lord expects everyone, everybody say everyone. The Lord expects everyone to die our debts. Everyone should die our debts. If we don't want to die, we won't make progress. So if we are not ready to die at individual levels, at family levels, can I say this? No one of us is perfect yet. What did I say? Yes, sir. I don't know about you. I am not. I am not. Where is my brother Truscott? You understand? You know, I am not. I am not perfect. I have infirmities that my wife bears. I have infirmities that brethren around me bears. But can I tell you, we all have to strive. If we all are not putting in effort, individually first, at family levels, it would have a toll on the, you know, church economy, not financial economy, the dispensation of grace. You just discover a church can be stuck. And there is no way to frustrate a pastor than a church that is not wanting to move forward. When I say church, I mean you. You and you and me. Everybody needs to be willing to die. What do I mean by death? Lose your ground. Lose your right. Lose your advantage. Let your brother, your sister be right. Even when it is obvious they are wrong. For a bigger purpose. The purpose of advancement. Can I say this? Evil spirits will keep coming. They won't stop. They won't stop. But we also shouldn't stop. As husband, I shouldn't stop. As wife, I shouldn't stop. As somebody living with, you know, couples, I shouldn't stop. Staying with brethren, I shouldn't stop. Because what they want to do is to make us stop. But can I tell you, we have enough might through our Lord Jesus not to stop. I felt in my spirit while I was coming, you know, in humility, you know, I felt that painting in my spirit. Some people need to go tell some people to forgive them. The Spirit of God brought an impression in my spirit while I was coming, because I'm not lying, while I was coming, I was kind of sober, spirits of soberness. I wasn't sober because of anything external. You know, as I was praying, I just felt soberness rest in my heart. You understand? I also felt that there are things the Lord wants to purge. But, you know, the Lord somewhere is relying on us. And the Spirit of God put an example in my heart. Years ago, I went to minister in a fellowship in Unilag, Gadites in Unilag. And while I went there, me, I've been having issues with Pastor Ayo. I've been having issues with him. I mean, real-time issues. You know, sometimes your soul may not just gel with people. They may, not necessarily because they did anything. It's just, Satan is the one who, for time, just works some things that you just feel you can't connect with this person. The very first day I saw him, the thing he did was the first impression last. Camp commandant, leave the room. Everybody leave the room. And he was like, he was going to leave the room. I was like, why would you say you are not leaving? I have authority from Pastor Moses. I said, leave the room. He said, take it easy. Ah. And I marked him. I marked him for evil. Now, that was 2008. Can I tell you? Almost 10 years, that thing built. It built. I would just be like, you know, why would somebody be doing things like this? Why is human satanic nature? So the thing kept getting worse. The more I saw, he would just do something. I'll be like, that is it. That is it. I would just be thinking in my mind, you understand? He will not be patient. He will not be this. The thing was growing wider and wider. So yeah, I developed an opinion about him. Inside, I may be greeting and laughing, but in my heart, I just developed an opinion that this person is like this. And I didn't like his personality. So here I was. I went to minister. That's why you don't judge people by preaching or teaching. It's by life. Ability to lay down lives. So I went to minister. Now, I went to minister this time I'm talking about. 2013 or 14, I went to minister in Ghana. They invited me for 6 weeks teaching on leading of the Spirit. The last ministration, they now said it should be supernatural clinic Saturday morning. And that Saturday morning is environmental. Back in the days when they have environmental, I had environmental in Lagos. So I had to leave home early before 7 so as to beat environmental. Here I was already in school, sleeping in one of the brethren's car. And eventually when they called me, when they started praying, I came forward. And the moment I sat down while prayers was going on, the Spirit of God began to judge my heart. I feel the Lord is talking to people. I am convinced from my spirit. So God began to judge my heart about Pastor Ayo. He said, this your thoughts about your brother is wrong. And I was, you know, I was just feeling like, what is wrong? See, why would somebody be doing this in the light of what we are hearing? And this is what kept doing it. And the Spirit of God now went further. He said, I want you to confess this your fault. He brought that scripture. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. He now told me, he said, you will confess this your fault before my people. He said, it's like a commandment. I told myself, never. Because the last 6 ministration, every Friday evening, come and say word. Everybody say word. Anointing was scattering everywhere. You were there now. Pastor, you know, every time I'm coming in, the way they'll be looking at me. Like, what kind of... That was my first major ministration in Ghana, and it was 6 weeks on a stretch. They were like, is this guy? I remember when they took the whole guy that I took an offering. They gave me an unbendable envelope. Even though I had to go and give it to spiritual authority. Because I was like, I can't take this. Because it's not my grace that taught. Somebody's anointing that I just went to. But the Lord now said, I will confess it. The moment the Lord said, I will confess that fault, war started. I was like, how would these same people that have seen me talk about, you know, angels. I remember that I was just see vision. I see garment. I say, I see garment. I see garment. Then I'll teach outer court. I'll teach the garment of the priest. Everything that he taught us. But it was coming with so much beauty. And they were, wow, they were blessed. People slain. They didn't know the person who is slaying people by the Spirit. He hasn't been slain himself. And the Spirit of God can say, you will confess it. And I was rationalizing it. The people leading prayers have led prayers. Person singing. It's two people that sang that day because I won't go up. Sister Comfort, Pastor Tayo, Pastor Emmanuel Ajani's wife. She, you know, it was first of all Sister Zoe that sang. She sang. The pastors came to me. They said, Pastor, anytime you are ready, just go up. So that I won't break the flow. Anytime you are ready. I said, no problem. I sat there. Now, if they said preach revelation, I would have gone there and started turn your Bible to the book of... But the thing the Spirit of God was saying to teach was heavy in my mouth. My personality, pride, was getting in the way. I didn't get up. They would just come again and be like, Pastor, anytime, they're about to read you. Anytime you are ready, I'll say, no problem. They felt maybe the weight of the Spirit was much. The anointing, the conviction of the Spirit of the Lord is upon the man of God. They didn't know that he's a sinner that is seated there. And I was looking for a way to run away with my sin. Take my sin home. And the thing, then after some time, they felt like a supernatural clinic. There is environmental. Anytime you finish today, you finish. The sister had sang all the song in her mouth. They brought another person. That one too came, sang and sang. After some time, while I was still seated, thinking of how would I do this thing? How would I tell people this kind of thing is in my heart concerning Pastor Ayo? All of a sudden, Pastor Ayo just showed up. Environment, I was shocked. On environmental day, how did you come out? He said he too came to Unilag. He came to minister to Anglican students. He said it was true. And it was, they now told him that I am ministering somewhere. He said, why would he be here and I'll be ministering? He will not be seated. Hey, I should have preached though. I confess and passed. That was how I just stayed. Now the message became difficult. Because he just came and sat down, greeted all the pastors, and he was there just everywhere. I know where Pastor Ayo did. Just looking at me. I knew my cup was full. Then I knew it must have been the Lord that wanted to deliver me. For him to be there at that same time wasn't coincidence. So I got up. Of course, everybody was expecting deep word. How to be led by the Spirit of God. I had to obey a good leading. After preaching 6 weeks of being led, I needed to now obey one. That was very key to my salvation. I opened the scripture. You understand? Confess your faults. One. That's it. James 6, 5, 16. It says, confess your faults. Everybody say faults. You confess your sin to God, but you confess your faults to your brethren. Now, faults stand on sins. Sins are lives that rests on ways in us. Sin is a life. Out of that life, we have ways of doing things that faults can spring from. For example, now what is a fault between you and your brother? Maybe between brother A and brother B may not be a fault between brother B and brother C. So it's not about the thing that the action itself is about your heart and your human or brethren relationship with your brethren. Now, Satan leverages on our infirmity to use our faults to be a stumbling block to one another. So for me, the way he spoke in the first meeting in 2008 was what, you understand, sin in me leveraged on My personality that felt is a Yoruba personality. Why would somebody talk to me like that? And it's a fault. As you are growing, you should be ready to be spoken to. We've seen our mommy Ellen, talk about people talk to her, you know, like if she's nothing. Some of them people are under her, and she will take it. The work is continuing in EGFM because she is taking sheets. She is doing what?
Taking sheets.
Daddy Oyegoke takes sheets. I say with reverence. I'm close to them. So pastor knows better than me. The things our parents take. If you hear them, you may go and slap some people who treat them that way. But you see them still laugh. It's not pretense. It is dying. That's what makes life continues. He said, death is at work in us, Paul said. He said, but life in you. For anywhere that life must be, people must be dying. Die to self. Die to your name. Die to your advantage. Die to reputation. Die! Lose your ground. Let Jesus win. Let the devil lose. So I got up. Now it looks glorious to me. Then it looked like shame. I read the scripture. Anamushafani ate. Evunomo kenia siva. Mutevina njo. Jovenia. Joveni amuka. Jove. Vamuna unetia. Fumeni anga nofa kambane gemeno finanjov drove, for he's driven his arrows even deep into the heart of some. At bleeding, at hot, wounded, fended. Confess your faults. I would heal. Unemo kafina toska. Fumeni jibando bagrina tesia. For what stops healing is shame, is pride. For confess your faults, saith the Lord. Choose to be small and take the provisions of my healing. Yea, health for your soul. Health for the soul of the one you'd confess to. Health for families. Health for my church. That way you give me a just ground to break spirits, to judge spirits, to push spirits out. Thank you, Jesus. So I took the scripture, I read it, then I now started. I was a very difficult circumstance, but I found everybody was just looking at, there should be almost 500 in open, you know, it was a, you know, canopy in front of SUB. Yes. And I started talking. When I started talking, to make it difficult, Pastor Ayo was laughing. It even was paining me. He didn't know how it was paining me to even start talking. But for him, he was laughing. He was just laughing. It's later I discovered. Because when I was through, their pastor now gave him the mic to round up. So what did I confess? I confessed the thing first day I met him. How we spoke, how I was offended. And how over the years he had kept that same thing. And over the years I have just gotten tired with his person, like that. And the Lord said I should confess. And I told him, I have actually had this bad thoughts and bad feeling about you. But I am sorry. It is not right. Before everybody's. Then when I said that, and I also said, because now all I knew when I was doing that was that the Lord wanted to disgrace me. That was what was going on in my inside. But just like they are tired of me. Let's just disgrace him and push him. Little wonder did I know that the Lord also wanted to reach out to people. Because the moment I did that, the Lord now stirred me. I now said that there are some, I just felt led here, who are also offended with some of their brethren. That it's a good time to go meet the person you're offended with and confess your faults. Tell the person, I like this, like this. And I said, you that they are confessing to, don't be stupid. Don't feel like you're an angel. You to confess in the spirit. You may not have anything but against the person. But if they are confessing, take it with meekness. Yeah? And pray. Isn't it just say confess? There's something about that commandment. You know, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you, God left this healing in the hands of the church. If they obey him, he left it. There are certain bodily health conditions that won't go if this is not addressed. Because Satan and evil spirits stay there to make sure that they it's like it even blocks the hearts. Because even when the Lord wants to bring healing, sometimes it's from your spirit through your heart to your body. It's like it clogs the wheel. You just make the thing cannot, it's not flowing well. So the moment I said that about other people, sir, come and see tears. I was surprised. They were there. Everywhere scattered. The two people who led worship had issues with each other. They had issues. Now, on the pastorate seat, there was issues. That's because I felt the Lord wanted to, you know, bring healing. Mass healing. I feel so. Now, I'm not saying you should get up and go do it. If you feel, you know, impressed in your heart, do so. If you go meet the person in the house, do so. But I sense a leading. It came to my spirit. I have thought away from it, but it came back. As it were, that you need to. So I confess. So they now gave to pastor. He now came up and talked about how he was fed up for me. That my own is too much. And he spoke and spoke. And I discovered it's the same devil that spoke to me, that spoke to him. So really, he was managing our gaps. Now, those gaps make sure that we were not supplying. You know Ephesians chapter 4. Every joint is meant to supply. You can give me that scripture. Now, that supply is what we use to grow. Sometimes in a church setting, the reason why some people lack material things is because there is no supply. The job that Brother H's, you know, wife should get is in the hand of Sister B's husband. Sister B's husband, who knows his wife is having issues with the other person, will not say it. Not necessarily because he doesn't want her to get a job. There is not enough love, enough to say there is a opening in our company. Because there is suspicion. I don't, because if you tell her, she will not be your colleague, sit there behind you, the while I am tired for her to be in the same department in church. I don't want her to. Let it just be in church. I am having that trouble. I don't want it here. You see, so that gap, it affects our economy. It affects our health. It affects our atmosphere. It affects our peace. It affects our children. It affects many things. Evil spirits make sure they manage the gap. Don't come close. You just say, you will tell this one. That's what she's thinking of. Then if you tell this one. That's the same evil spirit. But that day, it's from that day I broke through by faith in beginning to love Pastor Ayo. Then I don't talk about him. Now that I don't leave him alone, it's because the love is too much. The love is too much. On his birthday, and I don't play with Pastor Ayo. I had to go and sew an agbada for him on his 40th birthday. I swear that, I'm not saying it for the first time. You know, gave his wife money, take him out. I'm obsessed with him. He didn't start, you understand, anyhow. It came on an encounter. The Lord had to bleach something out of my soul. Wants to bleach things out. And some of those things, You can't do it with the arm of flesh. The Lord can instruct you personally. Sometimes the Lord can bring it as a grace. He can bring it as a grace on the family. He can bring it as a grace on the church. Where it just feels like, say this thing. Just tell your brother, look, I have this issue. You understand? Just forgive me. Eh? I didn't know any better. Praise the Lord. In rounding up, I don't know how to close the service. As in close, you know, can you pray in tongues, everyone? Yeah. 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 In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I perceive in my spirit there's a measure of, you know, Satan's work in fighting relationships that the Lord wants to spoil. You know, Satan's work in fighting relationship, the Lord wants to spoil it in a measure. He wants to, you know, frustrate Satan. And I feel like saying, the only thing that can stop him is shame and pride. And some things, the best time to eat corn is in the season of corn. Am I saying the truth? The best time to eat agbalomo, if you want to get the best, is in the season. There is something about grace and seasons. I just feel, if the Lord has stirred your heart with regards to anything that has been said today, don't stay too long before you act on it. Do something about it. So that what the Lord wants to supply, or what the Lord is supplying, and what the Lord is adding, will not be in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, the grace of God that was given to me was not in vain. Grace can be veined. You allow it to slip. I bless God, I didn't miss that opportunity with Pastor Ayok. I want to hand over to Pastor. You know, I feel I'm done so that I don't leak. Allow the atmosphere to...
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.